Amen.
It's good to see y'all. I know y'all been working hard today, but now we're going to rest and eat. So let's pray. Father, we are so thankful. Lord, you give us able bodies and we can go and do the things we need to do, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, how you bless us beyond that, Lord, or in our right minds, Lord. And Lord, we respect your word and care about it, and we draw nigh unto it, Lord. May you draw us even closer. And Lord, speak to us tonight from your word. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I have part six on that other set of quotes from Sunday, but before I had some more I was going to add in there, and when I got to looking at it, I thought maybe I'd refresh on some of this other before we get to that, and so I ran across this quote where Brother Branham is talking about the overcomer. That's the very first one on there. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, and which is in the midst of the paradise. So you got to overcome. There's a requirement there. Before he's going to give you of the tree of life, you have to overcome. Now, let's see. Let's look at another scripture in the same. This is in Laodicea Church Age. I didn't put this one in there, but I'll put it in there later. It's called Overcomer's Throne, Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. So he's talking to these overcomers. And if you're an overcomer, there's something that you overcame. There was some obstacle that you had to get past. And so if he says it's to that overcomer that he's going to do these things, he's going to let them sit in his throne. If he's going to let them partake of he's going to give them of the tree of life, they have to overcome. That's part of the word. That was part of the word before the foundation of the world. It's always been part of the word. And so he said, but let's listen to what he says here, the rest of this. And I'll add this later. But he says, to him that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. So he overcome, and he's going to give us to sit in his throne. He overcome. And so he gets to sit in the throne because he overcome. And we know how he overcome, right? How did he say he overcome? How did he say he did the works? It's the Father that dwelleth in me. Who had to give their life? God had to give his life. And so God overcome for him. And then we overcome by Christ. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Now, what we are to overcome? What are we to overcome? He asked the question. That is the normal question to ask here. But that is not actually the thought of this verse. This is not talking about what. Because if you go look, this is given in each one of these church ages, there's the statement about, if you overcome, I'll do this. For the overcomer, I'll do this. You can go read those. It's in Revelations 2 and 3. Now, what we are to overcome? What are we to overcome? That is the normal question to ask here, but that is not the actual thought of this verse. For it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how we are to overcome. You notice what he said. Even as I have overcome and sat down with my Father's throne. Now he goes on and talks about how that he overcome by the word. So I'm not going to read the rest of that. You can read that as you want. But now this is Revelations 2:7. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. So nobody's going to eat of the tree of life unless you overcome. Is that right? There's no way. Brother Bram, God is telling everyone here, it's to him that overcome will he give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden. This is the future reward to all overcomers of all ages. When the last call to battle has been sounded, when our armor has been laid down, when we will rest in the paradise of God, then we will rest in the paradise of God, and our portion will be the tree of life forever. Amen. So, how are we going to overcome? See, and what are we going to? Brother Bram said it's not so much what, but it's how. Now, the tree of life is eternal life. It's not two different things. So, here in the same, in the Church Ages book, now the word most definitely set forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share eternal life with man. So that's his purpose. He was going to do it. And he was going to do it by them overcoming. But that life, now, that ... there's two scriptures. I took them out. We've read this before. If you want to go back, you can read the scriptures. But that life could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in flesh. So God's going to manifest in flesh, and that's how he's going to share eternal life. You see that? And he says up here, to he that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life. Now he's saying exactly the same thing here, because we're going to find out that it's by Christ that we overcome. And that's what he's talking about here when it says that the tree had to become flesh first. Now he's going to say the tree here in a minute, but he says the same thing. But that life could not and would not be shared in any other way than the way of God manifest in flesh. This was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose. This plan has to be, see, that was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose. And what did it say up there a while ago about it being his purpose? This plan has to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. Now, listen closely. God being a Savior, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who would require salvation in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. His reason and purpose is how he's sharing eternal life as the Redeemer, how he is the overcomer. That is 100% correct, and multitudes of Scripture bear it out, as does the very pointed verse of Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever. Man could not directly come and partake of the tree of life in the midst of the garden. The eternal life of the tree had to become flesh first. Why? Why did it have to become flesh first? Because God interprets his own word, right? He undoes it. And so the tree was there in the garden. Now, I made the statement Sunday. I made the statement that Adam had the book. Brother Bram said he was given the book of life, and he had rights to that book of life as long as he didn't partake of this tree, the tree of knowledge. Yeah. So he had that. That was his right. And before he took of the tree, he lost it. Because what does it say here? To he that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. So who's going to give to eat of the tree of life? God's going to do it. And to he that overcometh, that's the one I'm going to give it to. Now, did Adam overcome? No, Brother Bram said a dozen times he didn't overcome. In a dozen different ways he didn't overcome. Why is that? There's only one overcomer. There was always to be one overcomer. When our names was put on the Lamb's Book of Life, Adam's was put on there with it the same time. His overcomer was God, not Adam. Nobody overcomes on their own. God is the overcomer. And that's all. You know, and it's the truth, you know. It's all I know to say. And I wanted to go back. I know we've went through these things, but I want to go back through them because I got some pretty deep things the next couple of services, maybe three. And I want to go slow, and I want to reference back to these things as we do it. Because some of the things he said, and who is this Melchizedek, and invisible union and power transformation, brother, we're standing in the age when he went and got the book, remember? Because when he got the book, was it not still sealed? Brother Branham, we're going to read it tonight. Brother Branham said when Adam forfeited his rights to it, it went back to the original owner. And when Jesus went to get it out of the original owner's hand, it was still sealed. So it had never been opened. Why? Because it's the tree of life, and it can only be given to those that overcome. The only one that can go get that book is one that has overcome and is sinless. And what did he say? Even as I have overcome and sit down in my Father's throne. So somebody had to overcome, had to pass these tests, had to keep the word, had to be the word expressed. And no man could do it. None. Jesus was God expressed doing it. It wasn't a man doing it. Jesus said it himself. It's not me that doeth the works, but the Father that dwelleth in me. But we're standing, brother and sister. When he went and got the book, he loosed the seals. He didn't loose six of them and stop. He loosed the seals. And what was in the seals was the revelation of Jesus Christ, Brother Brown said. That it came open in this day. The seals, when they came open, he said it became a new book to me. When those seals come open. When the sword fell in my hand on the mountain, he said. We're going to read them here in just a minute. He went to get life, to give it to us, to fulfill these things that he said. To he that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. And you think it's an accident that Brother Branham said that the sun is up in this day, the S-O-N, and that's what gives the seed life. When the seals come open, the sun is up. It's not an accident. None of that's an accident. God went and got life and gave it to his church. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Man could not directly come partake of the tree of life in the midst of the garden. The eternal life of the tree had to become flesh first. But before God could raise and save a sinner. Now, how did that sentence, before God could raise and save a sinner, how did that suddenly appear there right after that eternal life of the tree had to become flesh first, if he's not talking about Christ? He's talking about God's redeeming work. He's a redeemer. And that's why he said, when he comes flesh first, why does he become flesh? Because he's given his life for people. But before God could raise and save a sinner, he had to have a sinner to raise and save. Man had to fall. Amen. So let's go over into the breach here. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open book and to loose the seals thereof? Only the overcomer is the one that can take the book, right? Brother Ram said the Lamb was the only one worthy. The Lamb was the only one that overcame. And that's in half the message. You know that. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open book and to loose the seals thereof? Now, remember, let's read the first verse again so we can get it together. I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, God. Who is that? The absolutely original holder of the book of life. So what did we talk about at the very beginning? God's going to share his life. He holds it. God does. When Adam forfeited it, it went back to its original owner. It belongs to him. And John in the vision looked over and said, and saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. The inheritance that was lost and went back, still sealed. Then, when we go to breaking these seals, you're going to see it goes plumb back in the scripture all the way back. Remember what he said, that you can't read anywhere in the Bible, and it's not, you don't, if you don't see Jesus Christ anywhere you read in the Bible, then go back and read it again. When he said that it's the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. So when the seals come open, you're going to see it goes plumb back in the scripture all the way back. For each one of those seals, the whole thing together, the whole mystery lays right there in those seals. See? Every mystery of the Bible lays in these seals. And the seals cannot be broken until this time. When was it sealed? Before the foundation of the world. And it can't be broken before this time, when the Lamb goes and gets it. I'll prove it here just in a minute. And so you can go pick that up and finish reading on there. Christ is revealed in his own word. So the whole Bible is not the word of man. Neither was it wrote by man, brought by man, or neither can it be revealed by man. It's God's word revealed by God himself. Every last bit of it. His own interpreter, Christ revealing himself in his own word. So that's what Adam had, that book. The revelation of the, you know, the redemption of God, redemption of the book of redemption. You had the whole Bible. Remember, Brother Graham said that the book of life, that is the Bible. I'm going to read it to you here in just a minute, because the seals are on the Bible. Otherwise, if the seals came open and they weren't on the Bible, why did the Bible become a new book? The Bible became a new book when the seals were open. We'll just keep reading here. Let Brother Branham say it. For the Bible is a living, foretold witness of Jesus Christ. And as the earth, now listen to this, as the earth has grown into its fullness, and also vines grow into their fullness, the day grows into its fullness, the Bible has manifested in its fullness in the person of Jesus Christ. He was the Word of God revealed. The whole complete book of redemption. Who was? Christ was. He was the book of redemption. That's the book that Adam had in his hand. That's what he had. Life. He had life in his hand. And you see why he couldn't take the tree until it become flesh? It was Christ. The Bible is God's word. Foretelling the future events. It's given its believers, is commanded by its author to read and believe every word of it, not just part of it. One word to disbelieve it, you might as well quit trying until you believe that word. Every word is absolutely a part of Almighty God. God made manifest, wound into his word, to show forth who he is. God wound into his word. To all those people that come through there, that was God wound into his word, bringing it to pass. He worked all things together for good to them that love him. Even the things that were done that were evil, he still worked them to good. John, turning, he saw a lamb coming out. It must have been bloody and cut and wounded. It had been slain. Said a lamb that had been slain, and of course it was still bloody. If you cut the lamb and killed it the way the lamb was anyhow, it was hacked to pieces on a cross, spears in the side, nails in the hands and feet, and thorns over the brow. He was in an awful condition. And this lamb came forth and went over to him that sat upon the throne that held the complete title deed of redemption. And the lamb goes and takes the book out of the hand that of him that sit upon the throne. Now, when I think about these things, and all the time since I was a kid, I saw, you know, a man would walk up bloody and go and get the book out of another man's hand sitting on the throne. But that's not what is actually happening. There's not a man walking over and doing something. This is God telling us what's happening by giving us this picture and story that's going on. But what he's doing is exactly what we read in the beginning. He is sharing life with man. And this is how he was going to do it. You know, we can't stop and start trying to think that there was other ways he did it. Because if there was other ways he did it, Brother Bram said he lied. Because he didn't do it two different ways. He didn't do it three different ways. He done it one way. And he is the one who done it, always. He takes the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne and took and opened the seals and opened the book. And then when that happened, we find out that it must have been a great something took place in heaven. So this book, this eternal life that's been bound up here, it's our rights. It's the book of life. It's how he was going to share eternal life. Nobody realized how he was going to do it. Nobody knew exactly what was going to happen. And he's been showing it a little all the time that he was going to, how he was going to do it. Found out that it must have been a great something that took place in heaven. For the elders and the 24 elders and beast and everything in heaven began to cry out, "Worthy." And here come the angels, poured out the vials of the prayers of saints. The saints under the altar screamed out, "Worthy art thou, O Lamb, for you have redeemed us, and now you have made us kings and priests, and we shall rule on the earth." Oh my, that soul was he to open that book. You see, the book actually was planned. Now listen, what book is he talking about? He's talking about the book of life, and he's talking about the Bible, because it's the same thing. You see, the book actually was planned and written before the foundation of the world. The book was. And what did we read a while ago? That the Bible was the living foretold witness. You see, the book actually was planned and written before the foundation of the world. This book, the Bible, was really written before the foundation of the world. The Bible was written before the foundation of the world and sealed up. And Christ, being the Lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world. And the members of his bride, their names were put in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. But it's been sealed up. Now that book is what Adam had. He had rights to that book. This book. But he couldn't take of it because it had to become flesh. He had to, Brother Branham, it had to be unfolded and revealed out. Because God, he unfolds his word and interprets his word, and that's how his people recognize it. But, book of life before the foundation of the world. But it's been sealed up. And now it's been revealed, whose names were in there. All about it. What a great thing. Now, he's been breaking those seals all the way down through the church ages. But this don't happen till the end of the church ages. Because we know that. We know the seals have been breaking. They just weren't revealed until the end, when the seventh one was broken. What great thing. And John, when he saw it, he said, "Everything in heaven, everything underneath the earth, everything heard him saying, Amen and blessings and honor." He just was really having a great time. And for the Lamb was worthy. It was somebody who could open the book. All right, one more here in the first seal. Now, in the fifth chapter, the breaking of these seals, the seven seal book, first we want to read the first seal last evening to background just a little more. We find out that John looked and seen a book still in the hands of the owner, original owner, God. You remember how it was lost? By Adam. He forfeited the book of life for the knowledge of Satan. So he forfeited his rights to it to take the knowledge of Satan, what Brother Ram said. And he lost his inheritance. Lost everything and no way for redemption. And that is the one, Brother Bram said, that's the man who was predestinated to need salvation. All of us are. And that's where it started. Well, it started with Eve. Then God, made in the likeness of men, come down and become a redeemer to us, to redeem us. And now we find that out, that in the days passed by, these things which was mysterious is to be open to us in the last days. Amen. So, in harvest time, this is a little background before we get down to the main quote here. It was at the meeting the other night, that little assembly of God, brother and sister, sang that song, "I Wonder If John Saw Me," when he saw all the nations gathered. Did he see me? Sure, he did. If your name's on that book, John's name was on it too, and he wept because there was nobody who could touch it. And then one of the elders come and said, "Weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And John was looking around to find the lion, and out from behind the curtains come a lamb that had been slain since the foundation of the world. And when he saw a bloody lamb come out, and he come and took the book out of the right hand of him and called everything that was on that book. It's the complete book of redemption. He come and he called everything that was on that book. It's the complete book of redemption. And this is it, the book of redemption. He redeemed all that was in that book, not out of the book. He redeems all the ones that are in the book. Anything that had a beginning has an end. But if you got eternal life, you never did begin and you cannot end. So why is he having to redeem somebody that's got eternal life? He's not redeeming the thought. He's not redeeming the word. You can, Brother Bram said, you can be redeemed because your name is on the Lamb's Book of Life. But if you've got eternal life, you never did begin and you cannot end. Because you're sons and daughters of God. Attributes of his thoughts and his word. You have no ending of life. If your name is on that book, the Lamb came to redeem it. Remember, there is one person. There's not 10 million persons. There's not three persons. There's one person, God. And you're part of him. Not all that professed Christians, not all that try to live good and holy, but those whose names are written on there. He redeemed that. He redeemed those names that are written on there. And that alone, those names were on the book. Now we find out that Satan, because Adam, now we're going to hit this a lot more the next service, but just to get this, what he's saying here, so that We take it all and look at all of it. Now we find out that Satan caused Adam to fall by that one word. And God continued on in his creation to try to find a man who would live by every word. And we knew why we had to have one that lived by every word. Because one that lived by every word is what? The overcomer. And there was one overcomer. This first man failed. So he wasn't the overcomer. And this man would live his time, his age that he lived in. All right, so back over to the Church Ages book. There's no one, and this is what we read last time, but I wanted to pull it in here so we could associate it here with these others. There was no one with him when he trod that fierceness of the wrath of the fiery furnace. It was not another, but him who hung upon the cross and gave his blood. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We talked about the faith a while ago, the last service. The faith, his faith. This is what he's talking about. That is the overcomer. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Where's our faith anchored? Brother Bram says, if you're going to have faith, it's got to be anchored somewhere. It's got to be anchored in the manifestation of God. That's where it's anchored. He is the, what did he say he built his church on? The revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And how did Peter know it? Because God was manifested in front of him and God showed Peter who he was. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega of our salvation. We are espoused to him and not another. Brother Bram said we were espoused to him before the foundation of the world. Before. We don't belong to the church. We belong to him. His word is law. Creeds, dogmas, bylaws, constitutions have no effect on us. Yes, it is Jesus alone who walks in the midst of the churches. It is God in her willing and doing of his good pleasure. That verse, when I read that, every time I read it, it makes me so happy. You know, when you walk along in this life and you want to be a Christian and you aren't for so long, so many years even, and then when he comes, when you come to that place and you die, he brings you there and you cross over and you see this word begin to live in your life. It just makes you happy all the time that he is now doing it. See, you're not straining. You're not trying to do it yourself. God's doing it. It is God in her willing and doing of his good pleasure. Never forget that. You have only one relationship to God. And God has only one relationship to you. That is Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. Now, he that how can I overcome? For years, I looked at this message. I'm telling you. Finally, one day, it become real. There's always been an ark in God's economy. There was an ark in the days of Noah for the saving of his people. There was an ark in the days of the law, ark of testimony. In the days of the law, it followed the ark of the covenant. And there is a third dispensation now, like Noah's time, like Lot's time, and now this time. There's an ark today, he's saying. What's an ark? It's the place you're going to get on, and that's you're going to go above the water. You're going to be saved. There is an ark now, and that ark is not a denomination. Neither is it a good works that you do. It's by one Spirit. By one Spirit. We are all baptized into one body. In the domain of that kingdom, one spiritual baptism. No matter how good, how bad, whatever, you're in that kingdom by Holy Ghost baptism. That's the only way you overcome. It's by the Holy Ghost. And because who's doing it then, right? Well, he's going to say it. You don't have to take my word for it. That's the only way you overcome. It's all that is under the shed blood is overcomers, because you cannot overcome yourself. You cannot overcome yourself. God's the only overcomer. Because you cannot overcome yourself. It's he that overcome for you. So now you see why the tree had to become flesh first before we could partake of it. Because that's the only way you could overcome. And an overcomer is the one that partakes of it. It's he that overcome for you. You're resting. I know y'all know these things. I'm not thinking I'm teaching y'all that you don't know these things. But just before we get into these other things. How will I know then, Brother Branham, that I'm in there? Watch what kind of life you're living. Just look around. Now, a lot of people, they'll take this and they'll run and they'll talk about, I do this and I do that and I'm this and I'm that and I say amen to this and I. And but listen to what else he says here. See, if it's just lived out of you, if it's just lived out of you, you ain't doing it. Because we just read, who's doing that? Is God doing it? See, if it's just lived out of you automatically, or you have to strain and pull, see, then you're doing it. But don't try to do it. Did you ever try? Yeah, well, don't, he says. Just like putting a little, and you know, some people will take that and get the wrong idea of it. And they'll think, well, I don't need to do this, and I don't need to, but listen to how he keeps on talking about it. Just like putting a little baby's arm in a sleeve hole. You see, he's just up and down and over and everything else. See, he can't do it. He's over there trying. And as long as he keeps trying, y'all know, your kids trying to do it, and you trying to put the arm down, push it in, then the coat falls out of the way, and it's just a mess trying to get it on. But then if he'll just stop and hold his arm out and submit, see, then it stays in the same place, and then you can put it on him for him. See, he can't do it. Put on your coat, honey. He can't do it. Little arm is up, down, around. It takes your steady hand. Oh, how good I am. I can just yield my hand to Father and say, Lord Jesus, I can't get in there. You help me. You yield into him, see. But put the coat on me. I quit trying. Just let him do it, see. If the little baby keeps trying, oh, I can do it, I can do it. He's just everywhere. He can't do it. Neither can you, neither can I. But if you'll just hold still, if we'll just hold still and let him do it, just yield to him. Here, Lord, here I am. Just let me be nothing. I yield. You put my hand in the right place. That's the victory. That's the overcoming. The thing you have to overcome is yourself. You have to die to the idea that you are going to do it. That you're going to do anything. Your idea, your thing, and surrender yourself to him. You put your confidence in him. Just let go. You trust him. He overcome for you. He knows the way. We don't. But in Noah's time, there was 8 overcomers, and that's what went inside. What went in. They were called inside. Now look, friends, I believe we're taping this, and if it's on television, or pardon me, on a tape, whatever you do, who is listening now, or who will listen hereafter, the hour is very late, and you do have good intention, but be caught inside. In other words, don't just keep hanging around. If you'll read the rest of this message, he talks about a piece of wood laying somewhere that it'll rot much faster in certain places, like in the water or something. Don't struggle, not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God. Just let God. Just yield yourself to him and walk on. With a perfect, satisfied faith that God has performed, he is able to perform. What God has promised, he is able to perform. And brother, if you'll ever hold on to that, God will do it. He might test you for a long time. He might test you for a long time. I remember going to him one night. I'd failed him so many times. And I went to him one night, and I said, Lord, I know I've failed you so many times. I said, but you also know that I'm never going to quit coming here. Something in me
keeps bringing me to my knees and bring me back to you. And it will never stop. I know that. And Lord, I realize what that is. It's you, Lord. And I'm going to keep coming no matter what. And from that day, it started moving out. All the problems in my life started to move out. Not joining one denomination, another denomination. Joining this, that, or the other. Trying this. Just yield yourself to God and walk with Him. Peaceful, quiet, not interrupted. Just keep on walking with Him. See, that's it. Just keep walking. Doesn't matter if you fall down 16 times. Just get back up. Just keep walking. After a while, you realize you're not falling down anymore. That He's doing it. He's doing it. It's not some, Brother Bam said, the mystery today is the new birth without sensation. That's what I told our brother that's just over there, had the breakdown. See, just yield to Him. He's here. He who knowed what you have done and what you caused your being and doing this way and all that, He knows all about you. See, that's what Satan tries to tell you. He don't know nothing about you. That you're just fooling yourself that you're not one of His. See, He'll tell you that. He'll tell you everything under the sun to try to get you not to come and yield. That's what His goal is. He doesn't want to yield, and he'll have to be destroyed. He knows all about you, talking about Christ, and now He's just told you back just what to do. Now, I said, only thing you have to do is just go do it. That is, forget all about the past. Remember what Paul said, forgetting the past, walk on. Forget about the past. Walk, live for the future in the glory and the presence of God. 8 overcomers. In the days of Daniel's time, there was 4 overcomers. What that could stand the test of fire and lion. Now we're expected to be tested. That's a good lesson for my brother back there. He that cometh to God must first be tested. Tested. See, even though He's drawing you, He's still going to test you. Tested what? With the word. That's God's test. Do you believe it? Not can you perform it. Do you believe it? Not can you bring it to pass. Do you believe it? Congregation says, he that cometh to God must be tested. That only shows a true child. Then see, be tested. And when the test comes on, you can't overcome lest there's a test give to you. And when the test is given, it's to see whether you can overcome or not. And what did he just say about overcoming? It's to see if you're going to give it to God or not, or if you're going to try to do it. That's the test. He said, to him that overcometh the test. To him that overcometh the test. And there's only one that overcame. And Brother Branham said that we're lost because we refuse that overcomer. People think they can overcome. And you look at all the denominations. You look at all the, even the ones that call themselves message people. You look at all these ones. They have all these ideas about being saved. And so many of them far from it. You know, I think sometimes, it's been a while back, it's been a long time ago, I saw this little friend of Emily's that she would go and do things with. I think that was in Kentucky or Tennessee or something, I'm not sure where it was. And would dress very holy, keep her hair, she didn't try to trim her hair. They respected the message and things as far as you could tell. And then I saw the exceptions being made. You know, exceptions. They want to go jump out of an airplane, and they can't wear a dress when they jump out of an airplane.
So they go put pants on and jump out of the airplane. They can't go dive under the water and wear a dress, so they have to, you know, make an exception for it. You know, where in the Word does it say make an exception if you can't do something you want to do? It doesn't say that. And you talk about places in the Message. You know, Brother Branham, I just read that the other day where Brother Branham was talking about these comic books. He was talking about this little boy, young man, come through the line, and he said you lost the sight in one of your eyes. And he said, and then you got it back. And he said, and then I seen you lose it again, he said, when you was looking at one of these little comic books or something in the store. And I said, oh my. And I thought to myself, you know, what do we allow? What does the people in the Message that say they're in the Message and the mess that they put on the screens and stuff? And I was right out there in it, playing those games that have just as much stuff in those games as they have in movies. It's just as much junk in that as there is in the other. I'm so glad God took me away from all that stuff. He took it out of me. He took it out of me. And when you take it out, when God takes it out of you, you don't find to try to see how close you can get to it. Remember the story about the bulldozer? That man didn't want in the ocean. He wanted just as far away as he could get and get the job done. He had no desire to get near the water. He had no desire to show off, to show his skills or anything else. Just get the job done. And so I'm sorry, I'm rambling on there, but it just disturbs me, you know, when I see those things. And then I see them shouting and holiness and, you know, talking about being holy and all these other things. And the next thing you know, they're on the basketball court with a pair of shorts on, running around playing basketball. And they got their dress under, but it's showing too. I mean, it's just, I don't understand it. Why? You want them out of the world. So why push them to the edge of it? Why not get them just as far away as you can from it? I don't understand it. We take them out of school because of the nonsense that goes on in the schools and teach them at home and then turn right around and put them back amongst them. As if, I don't know, I don't understand it. I just, why? What is the, how is that edifying? How is it doing something for the Lord? How is that living for the Lord to go out there just as close to the edge as you can get? I mean, I went to these ball games, and when I was a kid, I've heard them screaming and cussing and yelling and parents fighting and everything else. And that was 40 years ago. And now you hear junk where they're shooting one another and everything else. So I'm sure that the spirit at those things is not good ever. So why? Why take them there? Why do that? What drives a person to do those things? Not just that. There's a bunch of other things. I'm sorry. I'll leave that alone. I'm just saying, you know, I was there. I was on those edges. And when he took me out, I don't want anywhere near the edges. See, I don't want anything to do with the edges. My desire is to please him. You see, that's the only desire I have. It's just to please him. And if it pleasing him means cutting off this, cutting off that, cut everything that I need to cut off, then that's what I want to do. And I know everybody that loves him wants that. Let's go ahead and finish up here. And Jesus said, to him that overcometh the test is the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Think about it. Because when you're getting tested, God is getting ready to show you something. He's getting ready to show you who's doing your fighting. Who is your overcomer? I believe it's written in the scripture. Peter said that our trials are worth more to us than precious gold. It's a testing time. It's one good evidence to us that God is with us when we're tested. For all children of God are tested and tried. And Daniel, a man a prophet. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel was the prophet. And that was the size of the church in that day. I mean, the bride. There's lots of church. About 2 million of them went down there. But that was the size of the overcomer. Those four were the size of the overcomer. And them overcomers were put to the test. And every overcomer has to be put to the test. You see what that is? The word meant more to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego than having their life cut short. Because that reality was the real one. That was the truth. God was the truth. This one's the short one. This is the one where the testing's happening. And that one becomes far more important. Then you don't play around the edges like people do. Was the size of the overcomer. The overcomers was put to the test. And every overcomer has to be put to the test. When they said, you take back what the word says, or either be thrown in the fiery furnace, they refused anything but the word. And when Daniel was given a test that he should take back that word, the word said that what the word said, that they should lean towards the temple as Solomon prayed, and he would deliver them from all things. God would hear from heaven if they'd look towards the temple and pray, and they're trying to make them not do it. And he said, if any man prays within this amount of days, that was the Medo-Persians, who cannot change or alter our laws, that man will be thrown into the lion's den. And they set a trap for him. I believe that prophet knew that, but that they set a trap for him. He walked humbly. When it come time for him to pray, when he knowed at home place in Jerusalem there was burning a sacrifice on the altar, Daniel wasn't afraid of them spies. This present world didn't mean anything to Daniel. God, this is what... And brother, if there's any vindication in the Bible, when they sent that angel and told him he was greatly loved in heaven, I'm telling you what. What a victory day, you know? He had victory every day, but what a victory day when that angel came. There was burning sacrifice on the altar. Daniel wasn't afraid of them spies. Raised up the shades. He could have left the shades down. Throwed back the shutters. Knelt down on his knees and throwed his hands up to God and prayed. Why? Live or die, he had the victory. And therefore, so much victory till the lions couldn't eat it. He overcome. Because why? He didn't try to do it. He looked to the word and prayed and left it right there. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego had so much victory until the lion, till the fire couldn't burn them. You know, victory is a hard thing to burn out or eat up or anything, see? So they had it. All right, now this, I mentioned this earlier about the Bible and about the Word, about the revelation, then opening the book. Then one day in Sabino Canyon, when God called me early in the morning up there, I was up with my hands in the air praying, and a sword come into my hands. And you know that. I stood there and looked at it, just natural as my hand is now, not knowing what it meant. And it was left me with a voice that said, this is the sword of the king. And then later, when the angel of the Lord revealed, it was the word in the hand. Immediately after that, the angels of the Lord appeared and told about the seven trumpets or the seven seals, that I was to return to Jeffersonville and preach the seven seals. And there, if I ever said anything that was inspired, it was in that. There where the angel of the Lord met us and the Bible become a new Bible. There it opened up and revealed all of the things that the reformers and things had left out. It was complete revelation. It was the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, altogether new to us. Think about that. Altogether new to us. but perfectly exactly with the scripture. That was the word which has always been. I was so inspired and directed. Now, later on in the same, in another message here. Now, it's hard to say this. It's very hard because speaking to people who feel the same way I do and the way I have been for many years. But since the opening of those seven seals and them angels just beyond the mountain there, this has become a new book. It's the things that's been hid is being revealed as God promised in Revelation 10, he would do it. So he's doing it. How in the world people can read that and say there's then return ministry still waiting? We are the privileged people that God has chosen of the earth that we might see and understand these things, which is not some mythical fleshly mind of a person trying to make it up. It's the word of God made manifest, proven that it's right. Revelation 10, made manifest that it's right, proven not by science, but by God that it's right. God, as I have said before in a message, God doesn't need anyone to interpret his word. He is his own interpreter. He says it'll happen, and it happens. He confirms it. That interprets it. Amen. And anybody who's been born again, say amen, because they know he's interpreted them. A long time, you and I, we tried to interpret ourselves. Then some of us, when we become what we thought was Christians, we tried to interpret ourselves then too. There's a lot of people stuck right there. And I just want to be the interpreted word in this day, so that if there's anybody around there that's stuck anywhere, whether I'm walking at work, whether I'm going to the store, wherever it is, if they let me, if the Lord lets me speak to someone, or someone sees me do something or act some certain way, and they think, well, that's strange, and they come talk to me. It's whatever God wants to do, you know. It's whatever he wants to do. And be ready. Be ready to give a witness. You know, is there something burning your heart you can tell him about? He or she or whoever it is you see, is there something burning that you would want to tell him? Does it excite you to think, do you want to hear that God sent a prophet and what he done? Do you want to know that the book, the tree of life, has been given to the bride now? And it started a new birth that's never been before. It's altogether new to her, to this. Do you want to know about this? You know, and just talk to him about it. God will do the talking. You know, if he wants you to talk, he'll give you words to say. Amen. So I love you, and I appreciate you sitting, listening to me. We're going to get more into who is this Melchizedek and look at, Brother Brandon talked about the stages of creation, and he talked about us going around parts of that stage of creation. And when we get into the power of transformation, you'll see that Brother Branham, that there's nowhere in there that said the seed was made manifest in that day. Nowhere. It's not there. And we just found out that seed, or we don't have found out, we've read it in 100 places, that the only thing that makes seed live is life. And there's only one life. And so God has to do that. So God's been bringing that seed to life all this time. So we'll get into that. I don't want to start trying to talk about that now. Let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for being with us tonight, Lord. Thank you so much for your word and how, Lord, that it's not just words to us anymore, Lord. But, Lord, it burns in our hearts. Lord, it's something that it seems like it just wants to come out all the time. Lord, it draws us into the prayer closet, draws us into the study. It makes us when we're talking to people, want to say a little something, Lord. Pass a little word. Tell them a little something about you, Lord. Because you said every word in there is a part of Almighty God. Lord, on the lips of a Holy Ghost-filled child of God, Lord, it is living. Lord, it will shake a seed, Lord. It'll bring that seed into the presence, Lord. And may you do the work. Wherever they are, Lord, wherever they may hear this, may you bring them to the word, Lord. Bring us, Lord, not just to a set of rules, not, Lord, just to something that satisfies conscience, Lord, but something that really is living, Father. That's what we want. Lord, I know it's real, Lord, because I have it in my heart. We pray that you'll bring it to pass in each one of your children. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. What was that one we were singing just before?